15.
And what's he doing now?
I don't know.
What base did he get to?
Christian!
I scold, and suddenly he grabs my knees, then my ankles, and tips me up so I fall back onto the couch. He slides smoothly on top of me, trapping me beneath him, one leg between mine. It's so sudden that I cry out in surprise. He grabs my hands and raises them above my head.
So, this Bradley, did he get to first base?
He murmurs, running his nose down the length of mine. He plants soft kisses at the corner of my mouth.
Yes, I murmur against his lips.
He releases one of his hands so that he can clasp my chin and hold me still, while his tongue invades my mouth, and I surrender to his ardent kissing.
Like this?
Christian breathes when he comes up for air.
No, nothing like that,
I manage as all the blood in my body heads south. Releasing my chin, he runs his hand down over my body and back up to my breast.
Did he do this? Touch you like this?
His thumb skims over my nipple, through my camisole, softly, repeatedly, and it hardens under his expert touch.
No,
I writhe beneath him.
Did he get to second base?
He murmurs in my ear. His hand moves down across my ribs, past my waist, to my hip. He takes my earlobe between his teeth and gently tugs.
No,
I breathe. Mulder blurts from the television something about the FBI's most unwanted. Christian pauses, leans up, and presses mute on the remote. He gazes down at me.
What about Joe Schmo number two? Did he make it past second base?
His eyes are smoldering hot. Angry? Turned on? It's difficult to say which. He shifts to my side and slides his hand beneath my sweatpants.
No,
I whisper, trapped in his carnal gaze. Christian smiles wickedly.
Good.
His hand cups my sex.
No underwear, Mrs. Gray. I approve.
He kisses me again as his fingers weave more magic, his thumb skimming over my clitoris, tantalizing me as he pushes his index finger inside me with exquisite slowness.
We're supposed to be making out,
I groan. Christian stills.
I thought we were.
No, no sex.
What?
No sex.
No sex, huh?
He withdraws his hand from my sweatpants.
Here.
He traces my lips with his index finger, and I taste my slick saltiness. He pushes his finger into my mouth, mirroring what he was doing a moment earlier. Then he shifts so he's between my legs, and his erection pushes against me. He thrusts once, twice, and again. I gasp as the material of my sweatpants rubs in just the right way. He pushes once more, grinding into me.
This what you want?
He murmurs, and moves his hips rhythmically, rocking against me.
Yes,
I moan. His hand moves back to concentrate on my nipple once more, and his teeth scrape along my jaw.
Do you know how hot you are, Anna?
His voice is hoarse as he rocks harder against me. I open my mouth to articulate a response and fail miserably, groaning loudly. He captures my mouth once more, tugging at my bottom lip with his teeth before plunging his tongue into my mouth again. He releases my other wrist and my hands travel greedily up his shoulders and into his hair as he kisses me. When I pull on his hair, he groans and raises his eyes to mine.
Ah,
do you like me touching you? I whisper. His brow furrows briefly, as if he doesn't understand the question. He stops grinding against me.
Of course I do. I love you touching me, Anna. I'm like a starving man at a banquet when it comes to your touch.
His voice hums with passionate sincerity. Holy cow. He kneels between my legs and drags me up to haul off my top. I'm naked beneath it. Grabbing the hem of his shirt, he yanks it over his head and tosses it on the floor, then pulls me onto his kneeling lap. his arms clasped just above my behind.
Touch me,
he breathes. Oh my. Tentatively, I reach up and brush the tips of my fingers through the smattering of chest hair over his sternum, over his burn scars. He inhales sharply and his pupils dilate, but it's not with fear. It's a sensual response to my touch. He watches me intently as my fingers float delicately over his skin, first to one nipple and then the other. They pucker beneath my caress. Leaning forward, I plant soft kisses on his chest, and my hands move to his shoulders, feeling the hard, sculptured lines of sinew and muscle.
Whoa, he's in good shape. I want you,
he murmurs, and it's a green light to my libido. My fingers move into his hair, pulling his head back so I can claim his mouth, fire licking hot and high in my belly. He groans and pushes me back onto the couch. He sits up and rips off my sweatpants, undoing his fly at the same time.
Home run,
he whispers, and swiftly he fills me. Ah! I groan, and he stills, grabbing my face between his hands.
I love you, Mrs. Gray,
he murmurs, and very slowly, very gently, he makes love to me until I come apart at the seams, calling his name and wrapping myself around him, never wanting to let him go. I lay sprawled on his chest. We're on the floor of the TV room. You know, we completely bypassed third base. My fingers trace the line of his pectoral muscles. He laughs.
Next time.
He kisses the top of my head. I look up to stare at the television screen, where the end credits for The X-Files play. Christian reaches for the remote and switches the sound back on. You liked that show? I ask.
When I was a kid.
Oh, Christian, as a kid. Kickboxing and The X-Files and no touching.
You?
He asks. Before my time.
You're so young.
Christian smiles fondly.
I like making out with you, Mrs. Gray.
Likewise, Mr. Gray. I kiss his chest, and we lie silently watching as the X-Files finish and the commercials come on. It's been a heavenly 3 weeks. Car chases and fires and psycho ex-bosses notwithstanding. Like being in our own private bubble, I mutter dreamily. Christian hums deep in his throat.
I'm not sure I'm ready to share you with the rest of the world yet.
Back to reality tomorrow, I murmur, trying to keep the melancholy from my voice. Christian sighs and runs his other hand through his hair.
Security will be tight.
I put my finger over his lips. I don't want to hear this lecture again. I know. I'll be good. I promise. Which reminds me. I shift, propping myself up on my elbows to see him better. Why were you shouting at Sawyer? He stiffens immediately.
Oh, shit. Because we were followed.
That wasn't Sawyer's fault. He gazes at me levelly.
They should never have let you get so far in front. They know that.
I blush guiltily and resume my position, resting on his chest. It was my fault. I wanted to get away from them. That wasn't
enough.
Christian is suddenly curt.
This is not up for discussion, Anastasia. It's a fact, and they won't let it happen again.
Anastasia? I am Anastasia when I am in trouble, just like at home with my mother. Okay, I mutter, placating him. I don't want to fight. Did Ryan catch up with the woman in the Dodge?
No, and I'm not convinced it was a woman.
Oh? I look up again.
Sawyer saw someone with their hair tied back, but it was a brief look. He assumed it was a woman. Now, given that you've identified that fucker, maybe it was him. He wore his hair like that.
The disgust in Christian's voice is palpable. I don't know what to make of this news. Christian runs his hand down my naked back, distracting me.
If anything happened to you,
he murmurs, his eyes wide and serious, I know, I whisper. I feel the same about you.
I shiver at the thought. Come, you're getting cold, he says, sitting up. Let's go to bed. We can cover third base there.
He smiles a lascivious smile, as mercurial as ever. Passionate, angry, anxious, sexy. My 50 shades. I take his hand and he pulls me to my feet, and without a stitch on, I follow him through the great room to the bedroom. The following morning, Christian squeezes my hand as we pull up outside SIP. He looks very much the powerful executive in his dark navy suit and matching tie. I smile. He's not been this smart since the ballet in Monaco.
You know you don't have to do this,
Christian murmurs. I am tempted to roll my eyes at him. I know, I whisper, not wanting Sawyer and Ryan to overhear me from the front of the Audi. He frowns, and I smile. But I want to, I continue. You know this. I lean up and kiss him. His frown doesn't disappear. What's wrong? He glances uncertainly at Ryan as Sawyer climbs out of the car.
I'll miss having you to myself.
I reach up to caress his face. Me too, I kiss him. It was a wonderful honeymoon. Thank you.
Go to work, Mrs. Gray.
You too, Mr. Gray. Sawyer opens the door. I squeeze Christian's hand once more before I climb out onto the sidewalk. As I head into the building, I give him a little wave. Sawyer holds open the door and follows me in. Hi, Anna! Claire smiles from behind the reception desk. Claire, hello, I smile back. You look wonderful. Good honeymoon? The best. Thank you. How's it been here? Old man Roach is the same, but security has been stepped up and our server room is being overhauled. But Hannah will tell you. Sure she will. I give Claire a friendly smile and head to my office. Hannah is my assistant. She is tall, slim, and ruthlessly efficient to the point that sometimes I find her a little intimidating. But she's sweet to me, in spite of the fact that she's a couple of years older. She has my latte waiting, the only coffee I let her get for me. Hi, Hannah, I say warmly. Anna, how was your honeymoon? Fantastic. Here, for you. I pop the small bottle of perfume I bought for her onto her desk, and she claps her hands with glee. Oh, thank you, she says enthusiastically. Your urgent correspondence is on your desk, and Roach would like to see you at 10. That's all I have to report for now. Good. Thank you. And thanks for the coffee. Wandering into my office, I rest my briefcase on my desk and gaze at the piled-up letters. I have a lot to do. Just before 10, there's a timid tap on my door. Come in. Elizabeth looks around the door. Hi, Anna. I just wanted to say welcome back. Hey, I have to say, reading through all this correspondence, I wish I was back in the south of France. Elizabeth laughs, but her laughter is off, forced, and I cock my head to one side and gaze at her like Christian does to me. Glad you're back safely, she says. I'll see you in a few minutes at the meeting with Roach. Okay, I murmur, and she shuts the door behind her. I frown at the closed door. What was that about? I shrug it off. My email pings. It's a message from Christian. From Christian Gray. Subject, Errant Wives. Date, August 22nd, 2011. 9:56. To Anastasia Steele.
Wife, I sent the email below and it bounced. And it's because you haven't changed your name. Something you want to tell me?
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Attachment. From Christian Gray. Forward, subject, bubble. Date, August 22nd, 2011, 9:32. To Anastasia Gray.
Mrs. Gray, love covering all the bases with you. Have a great first day back. Miss our bubble already. X.
Christian Gray, back in the real world, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc.
Shit. I hit reply immediately.
From Anastasia Steele. Subject, don't burst the bubble. Date, August 22nd, 2011, 9:58. To Christian Gray.
Husband, I am all for a baseball metaphor with you, Mr. Gray. I want to keep my name here. I'll explain this evening. I am going into a meeting now. Miss our bubble, too.
P.S. Thought I had to use my BlackBerry?
Anastasia Steele, Editor, S.I.P.
This is going to be such a fight. I can feel it.
Sighing, I gather up my papers for the meeting.
The meeting lasts for 2 hours. All the editors are there, plus Roach and Elizabeth. We discuss personnel, strategy, marketing, security, and year-end. As the meeting progresses, I grow more and more uncomfortable. There's a subtle change in how my colleagues are treating me, a distance and deference that wasn't there before I left for my honeymoon. And from Courtney, who heads up the nonfiction division, there's downright hostility. Maybe I'm just being paranoid, but it goes some way to explaining Elizabeth's odd greeting this morning. My mind drifts back to the yacht, then to the playroom, then to the R8 speeding away from the mystery Dodge on I-5. Perhaps Christian's right. Perhaps I can't do this anymore. The thought is depressing. This is all I've ever wanted to do. If I can't do this, what will I do? As I walk back to my office, I try to dismiss these dark thoughts. When I sit down at my desk, I quickly check my emails. Nothing from Christian. I check my BlackBerry. Still nothing. Good. At least there's been no adverse reaction to my email. Perhaps we'll discuss this tonight as per my request. I find that hard to believe, but ignoring my uneasy feeling, I open the marketing plan I was given at the meeting. As is our ritual on a Monday, Hannah comes into my office with a plate for my packed lunch, courtesy of Mrs. Jones, and we sit and eat our lunches together, discussing what we want to achieve during the week. She brings me up to date with the office gossip, too, which, considering I've been away for 3 weeks, is sorely lacking. As we're chatting, there's a knock on the door. Come in! Roach opens the door, and standing beside him is Christian. I'm momentarily struck dumb. Christian shoots me a blazing look and stalks in before smiling politely at Hannah.
Hello, you must be Hannah. I'm Christian Gray, he says.
Hannah scrambles to her feet and holds out her hand. Mr. Gray, how nice to meet you, she stutters as they shake hands. Can I fetch you a coffee?
Please,
he says warmly. With a quick, puzzled glance at me, she scuttles out of the office past Roach, who stands as dumbstruck as me on the threshold of my office.
If you'll excuse me, Roach, I'd like a word with Ms. Steele.
Christian hisses the S sibilantly. Sarcastically.
This is why he's here. Oh, shit.
Of course, Mr. Gray. Anna.
Roach mutters, shutting the door to my office as he departs. I recover my power of speech. Mr. Gray, how nice to see you. I smile, far too sweetly.
Ms. Steele, may I sit down?
It's your company. I wave at the chair Hannah vacated.
Yes, it is.
He smiles wolfishly at me, the smile not reaching his eyes. His tone is clipped. He's bristling with tension. I can feel it all around me. Fuck. My heart sinks.
Your office is very small,
he says, as he sits down facing my desk. It suits me. He regards me neutrally, but I know he's mad. I take a deep breath. This is not going to be fun. So, what can I do for you, Christian?
I'm just looking over my assets.
Your assets? All of them?
All of them. Some of them need rebranding.
Rebranding? In what way?
I think you know.
His voice is menacingly quiet. Please, don't tell me you have interrupted your day after 3 weeks away to come over here and fight with me about my name.
I am not a freaking asset.
He shifts and crosses his legs.
Not exactly fight, no.
Christian, I'm working.
Looked like you were gossiping with your assistant to me.
My cheeks heat.
We were going through our schedules, I snap, and you haven't answered my question.
There's a knock on the door.
Come in,
I shout, too loudly. Hannah opens the door and brings in a small tray, milk jug, sugar bowl, coffee, and a French press. She's gone all out. She places the tray on my desk.
Thank you, Hannah, I mutter, embarrassed that I have just shouted so loudly. Do you need anything else, Mr. Gray?
She asks, all breathless. I want to roll my eyes at her.
No, thank you. That's all.
He smiles, his dazzling, panty-dropping smile at her. She flushes and exits, simpering. Christian turns his attention back to me.
Now, Ms. Steele, where were we?
You were rudely interrupting my workday to fight with me about my name. Christian blinks once, surprised, I think, by the vehemence in my voice. Deftly, he picks at an invisible piece of lint on his knee with long, skilled fingers. It's distracting. He's doing it on purpose. I narrow my eyes at him.
I like to make the odd impromptu visit. It keeps management on their toes, wives in their place, you know.
He shrugs, his mouth set in an arrogant line.
Wives in their place?
I had no idea you could spare the time, I snap. His eyes frost.
Why don't you want to change your name here?
He asks, his voice deathly quiet. Christian, do we have to discuss this now?
I'm here. I don't see why not.
I have a ton of work to do, having been away for the last 3 weeks. His eyes are cool and assessing, distant even. I marvel that he can appear so cold after last night, after the last 3 weeks.
Shit, he must be mad, really mad. When will he learn not to overreact?
Are you ashamed of me?
He asks, his voice deceptively soft.
No! Christian, of course not,
I scowl.
This is about me, not you.
Jeez, he's exasperating sometimes. Silly, overbearing megalomaniac. How is this not about me?
He cocks his head to one side, genuinely perplexed, some of his detachment slipping as he stares at me with wide eyes, and I realize that he's hurt.
Holy fuck, I've hurt his feelings. Oh, no. He's the last person I want to hurt.
I have to make him see my logic. I have to explain my reasoning for my decision.
Christian, when I took this job, I'd only just met you, I say patiently, struggling to find the right words. I didn't know you were going to buy the company.
What can I say about that event in our brief history, his deranged reasons for doing so, his control freakery, his stalker tendencies gone mad, given completely free rein because he is so wealthy. I know he wants to keep me safe, but it's his ownership of SIP that is the fundamental problem here. If he'd never interfered, I could continue as normal and not have to face the disgruntled and whispered recriminations of my colleagues. I put my head in my hands just to break eye contact with him.
Why is it so important to you? I ask, desperately trying to hold on to my fraying temper.
I look up at his impassive stare, his eyes luminous, giving nothing away, his earlier hurt now hidden. But even as I ask the question, deep down I know the answer before he says it.
I want everyone to know that you're mine.
I am yours! Look!
I hold up my left hand, showing my wedding and engagement rings.
It's not enough.
Not enough that I married you?
My voice is barely a whisper. He blinks, registering the horror on my face. Where can I go from here? What else can I do?
That's not what I mean,
he snaps, and runs a hand through his overlong hair so that it flops onto his forehead.
What do you mean?
He swallows.
I want your world to begin and end with me,
he says, his expression raw. His comment completely derails me. It's like he's punched me hard in the stomach, winding and wounding me. And the vision comes to mind of a small, frightened, copper-haired, gray-eyed boy in dirty, mismatched, ill-fitting clothes.
It does,
I say without guile, because it's the truth. I'm just trying to establish a career, and I don't want to trade on your name. I have to do something, Christian. I can't stay imprisoned at Escala or the new house with nothing to do. I'll go crazy. I'll suffocate. I've always worked, and I enjoy this. This is my dream job. It's all I've ever wanted. But doing this doesn't mean I love you less. You are the world to me.
My throat swells and tears prick the backs of my eyes. I must not cry. Not here. I repeat it over and over in my head. I must not cry. I must not cry.
He stares at me, saying nothing. Then a frown crosses his face as if he's considering what I've said.
I suffocate you?
His voice is bleak, and it's an echo of a question he's asked me before.
No. Yes. No. This is such an exasperating conversation. Not one that I want to have now. Here.
I close my eyes and rub my forehead, trying to fathom how we got to this. Look, we were talking about my name. I want to keep my name here because I want to put some distance between you and me. But only here. That's all. You know everyone thinks I got the job because of you, when the reality is... I stop when his eyes widen. Oh no. Is it because of him?
Do you want to know why you got the job, Anastasia?
Anastasia? Shit.
What? What do you mean? He shifts in his chair as if steeling himself. Do I want to know?
The management here gave you Hyde's job to babysit. They didn't want the expense of hiring a senior executive when the company was mid-sale. They had no idea what the new owner would do with it once it passed into his ownership, and, wisely, they didn't want an expensive redundancy. So they gave you Hyde's job to caretake until the new owner...
He pauses, and his lips twitch in an ironic smile.
Namely me, took over.
Holy crap!
What are you saying?
So it was because of him. Fuck!
I'm horrified. He smiles and shakes his head at my alarm.
Relax. You've more than risen to the challenge. You've done very well.
There's the tiniest hint of pride in his voice, and it's almost my undoing.
Oh,
I murmur incoherently, reeling from this news. I sit right back in my chair, open-mouthed, staring at him. He shifts again.
I don't want to suffocate you, Anna. I don't want to put you in a gilded cage.
Well, he pauses, his face darkening.
Well, the rational part of me doesn't.
He strokes his chin thoughtfully as his mind concocts some plan.
Oh, where is he going with this?
Christian looks up suddenly as if he's had a eureka moment.
So, one of the reasons I'm here, apart from dealing with my errant wife,
he says, narrowing his eyes,
is to discuss what I am going to do with this company.
Errant wife? I am not errant, and I am not an asset.
I scowl at Christian again, and the threat of tears subsides. So, what are your plans? I incline my head to one side, mirroring him, and I can't help my sarcastic tone. His lips twitch with the hint of a smile.
Whoa, change of mood, again.
How can I ever keep up with Mr. Mercurial?
I'm changing the name of the company to Gray Publishing.
Holy shit.
And in a year's time, it will be yours.
My mouth drops open once more, wider this time.
This is my wedding present to you.
I shut my mouth, then open it, trying to articulate something, but there's nothing there. My mind is blank.
So, do I need to change the name to Steel Publishing?
He's serious. Holy fuck. Christian, I whisper when my brain finally reconnects with my mouth, you gave me a watch. I can't run a business. He tilts his head to one side and gives me a censorious frown.
I ran my own business from the age of 21.
But you, control freak and whiz kid extraordinaire. Geez, Christian, you majored in economics at Harvard before you dropped out. At least you have some idea. I sold paint and cable ties for 3 years on a part-time basis, for heaven's sake. I've seen so little of the world, and I know next to nothing. My voice rises, growing louder and higher as I complete my tirade.
You're also the most well-read person I know,
he counters earnestly.
You love a good book. You couldn't leave your job while we were on our honeymoon. You read how many manuscripts? 4?
5, I whisper.
And you wrote full reports on all of them. You're a very bright woman, Anastasia. I'm sure you'll manage.
Are you crazy?
Crazy for you, he whispers.
And I snort, because it's the only expression my body can make. He narrows his eyes. You'll be a laughingstock, buying a company for the little woman who has only had a full-time job for a few months of her adult life.
Do you think I give a fuck what people think? Besides, you won't be on your own.
I gape at him. He really has lost his marbles this time. Christian, I put my head in my hands. My emotions have been through a ringer. Is he crazy? And from somewhere dark and deep inside, I have this sudden, inappropriate need to laugh. When I look up at him again, his eyes widen.
Something amusing you, Miss Steele?
Yes, you. His eyes widen further, shocked, but also amused.
Laughing at your husband? That will never do. And you're biting your lip.
His eyes darken in that way. Oh, no. I know that look. Sultry, seductive, salacious. Nope. Not here. Don't even think about it, I warn, alarm clear in my voice.
Think about what, Anastasia?
I know that look. We're at work. He leans forward, his eyes glued to mine, molten gray and hungry. Holy shit. I swallow instinctively.
We're in a small, reasonably soundproofed office with a lockable door, he whispers.
Gross moral turpitude. I enunciate each word carefully.
Not with your husband.
With my boss's boss's boss, I hiss.
You're my wife.
Christian? No. I mean it. You can fuck me 7 shades of Sunday this evening, but not now. Not here. He blinks and narrows his eyes once more. Then, unexpectedly, he laughs.
7 shades of Sunday?
He arches an eyebrow, intrigued.
I may hold you to that, Miss Steele.
Oh, stop with the Miss Steele! I snap and thump the desk, startling us both. For heaven's sake, Christian, if it means so much to you, I'll change my name. His mouth pops open as he inhales sharply, and then he grins, a radiant, all teeth showing, joyous grin.
Wow.
Good. He claps his hands, and all of a sudden, he stands.
What now? Mission accomplished. Now, I have work to do, if you'll excuse me, Mrs. Gray.
This man is so maddening. But...
But what, Mrs. Gray?
I sag. Just go.
I intend to. I'll see you this evening. I'm looking forward to Seven Shades of Sunday.
I scowl.
Oh, and I have a stack of business-related social engagements coming up, and I'd like you to accompany me.
I gape at him. Will you just go?
I'll have Andrea call Hannah to put the dates in your calendar. There are some people you need to meet. You should get Hannah to handle your schedule from now on.
Okay, I mumble, completely bemused, bewildered, and shell-shocked. He leans over my desk. What now? I am caught in his hypnotic gaze.
Love doing business with you, Mrs. Gray.
He leans in closer as I sit paralyzed, and he plants a soft, tender kiss on my lips.
Laters, baby.
He murmurs. He stands abruptly, winks at me, and leaves. I lay my head on my desk, feeling like I've been run over by a freight train. The freight train that is my beloved husband. He has to be the most frustrating, annoying, contrary man on the planet. I sit up and frantically rub my eyes. What have I just agreed to? Okay, Anna Gray running SIP. I mean, Gray Publishing. The man is insane. There's a knock on the door and Hannah pokes her head around. You okay? She asks. I just stare at her. She frowns. I know you don't like me doing this, but can I make you some tea? I nod. Twining's English breakfast, weak and black? I nod. Coming right up, Anna. I stare blankly at my computer screen, still in shock. How can I make him understand? Email. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, not an asset. Date, August 22nd, 2011, 14:23. To Christian Gray. Mr. Gray, next time you come and see me, make an appointment so I can at least have some prior warning of your adolescent overbearing megalomania. Yours. Anastasia Gray. Please note name. Editor. S.I.P. From Christian Gray. Subject, Seven Shades of Sunday. Date, August 22nd, 2011, 14:34. To Anastasia Steele.
My dear Mrs. Gray, emphasis on my. What can I say in my defense? I was in the neighborhood, and no, you are not an asset. You are my beloved wife. As ever, you make my day.
Christian Gray, CEO and overbearing megalomaniac, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. He is trying to be funny, but I am in no mood to laugh. I take a deep breath and go back to my correspondence. Christian is quiet when I climb into the car that evening. Hi, I murmur.
Hi,
he responds warily, as he should. Disrupt anyone else's work today? I ask too sweetly. A ghost of a smile crosses his face.
Only Flynn's.
Oh. Next time you go to see him, I'll give you a list of topics I want covered. I hiss.
You seem out of sorts, Mrs. Gray.
I glare steadily at the backs of Ryan's and Sawyer's heads in front of me. Christian shifts beside me.
Hey,
he says softly and reaches for my hand. All afternoon, when I should have been concentrating on work, I was trying to figure out what to say to him. But I became angrier and angrier with each passing hour. I've had enough of his cavalier, petulant, and frankly childish behavior. I snatch my hand out of his in a cavalier, petulant, and childish manner.
You're mad at me?
He whispers. Yes, I hiss. Folding my arms protectively across my body, I gaze out my window. He shifts beside me once more. But I will not let myself look at him. I don't understand why I'm so mad at him, but I am. Really fucking mad. As soon as we pull up outside Escala, I break protocol and leap out of the car with my briefcase. I stomp into the building, not checking to see who is following. Ryan scuttles into the foyer behind me and dashes to the elevator to press the call button.
What?
I snap when I'm alongside him. His cheeks redden.
Apologies, ma'am,
he mutters. Christian comes and stands beside me to wait for the elevator, and Ryan retreats.
So it's not just me you're mad at,
Christian murmurs dryly. I glare up at him and see a trace of a smile on his face.
Are you laughing at me?
I narrow my eyes.
I wouldn't dare,
he says, holding his hands up like I'm threatening him at gunpoint. He's in his navy suit, looking crisp and clean with floppy sex hair and a guileless expression.
You need a haircut,
I mutter. Turning away from him, I step into the elevator.
Do I?
He says while brushing his hair off his forehead. He follows me in.
Yes.
I tap the code for our apartment into the keypad.
So you're talking to me now?
Just.
What exactly are you mad about? I need an indication.
He asks cautiously.
I turn and gape at him. Do you really have no idea? Surely, for someone so bright, you must have an inkling. I can't believe you're that obtuse.
He takes an alarmed step back.
You really are mad. I thought we had sorted all this in your office.
He murmurs, perplexed.
Christian, I just capitulated to your petulant demands. That's all.
The elevator doors open and I storm out. Taylor is standing in the hallway. He takes a step back and quickly shuts his mouth as I steam past him.
Hi, Taylor, I mutter.
Mrs. Gray,
he murmurs. Dropping my briefcase in the hallway, I head into the great room. Mrs. Jones is at the stove.
Good evening, Mrs. Gray.
Hi, Mrs. Jones, I mutter. I head straight to the fridge and pull out a bottle of white wine. Christian follows me into the kitchen and watches me like a hawk as I take a glass down from the cupboard. He removes his jacket and casually places it on the countertop.
Do you want to drink?
I ask, super sweetly.
No thanks,
he says, not taking his eyes off me. And I know that he's helpless. He does not know what to do with me. It's comical on one level and tragic on another. Well, screw him. I am having trouble locating my compassionate self since our meeting this afternoon. Slowly, he removes his tie and then opens the top button of his shirt. I pour myself a large glass of Sauvignon Blanc, and Christian runs a hand through his hair. When I turn around, Mrs. Jones has disappeared. Shit! She's my human shield. I take a slug of wine. It tastes good.
Stop this,
Christian whispers. He takes the two steps between us, so he's standing in front of me. Gently, he tucks my hair behind my ear and caresses my earlobe with his fingertips, sending a shiver through me. Is this what I've missed all day? His touch? I shake my head, causing him to release my ear and gaze up at him.
Talk to me,
he murmurs.
What's the point? You don't listen to me.
Yes, I do. You're one of the few people I do listen to.
I take another swig of wine.
Is this about your name?
Yes, and no. It's about how you dealt with the fact that I disagreed with you.
I glare up at him, expecting him to be angered. His brow furrows.
Anna, you know I have issues. It's hard for me to let go where you're concerned. You know that.
But I'm not a child, and I'm not an asset.
I know.
He sighs.
Then stop treating me as though I am,
I whisper, imploring him. He brushes the backs of his fingers down my cheek and runs the tip of his thumb across my bottom lip.
Don't be mad. You're so precious to me, like a priceless asset, like a child,
he whispers, a somber, reverent expression on his face. His words distract me.
Like a child, precious like a child. A child would be precious to him.
I'm neither of those things, Christian. I'm your wife. If you were hurt that I wasn't going to take your name, you should have said.
Hurt?
He frowns deeply, and I know that he's exploring the possibility in his mind. He straightens suddenly, still frowning, and glances quickly at his wristwatch.
The architect will be here in just under an hour. We should eat.
Oh, no. I groan inwardly. He hasn't answered me, and now I have to deal with Gia Mateo. My shitty day just got shittier. I scowl at Christian. This discussion isn't finished, I mutter.
What else is there to discuss?
You could sell the company. Christian snorts.
Sell it?
Yes.
You think I'd find a buyer in today's market?
How much did it cost you?
It was relatively cheap.
His tone is guarded. So if it folds? He smirks.
We'll survive, but I won't let it fold, Anastasia. Not while you're there.
And if I leave?
And do what?
I don't know. Something else?
You've already said this is your dream job, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but I promised before God, Reverend Walsh, and a congregation of our nearest and dearest to cherish you, uphold your hopes and dreams, and keep you safe at my side.
Quoting your wedding vows to me is not playing fair.
I've never promised to play fair where you're concerned. Besides, he adds, you've wielded your vows at me like a weapon before.
I scowl. This is true.
Anastasia, if you're still angry with me, take it out on me in bed later.
His voice is suddenly low and full of sensual longing, his eyes heated.
What? Bed? How?
He smiles indulgently down at my expression. Is he expecting me to tie him up?
Holy crap. 7 Shades of Sunday,
he whispers.
Looking forward to it.
Whoa. Gail, he shouts abruptly, and 4 seconds later, Mrs. Jones appears. Where was she? Taylor's office? Listening? Oh, no.
Mr. Gray?
We'd like to eat now, please.
Very good, sir.
Christian doesn't take his eyes off me. He watches me vigilantly as if I'm some exotic creature about to bolt. I take a sip of my wine.
I think I'll join you in a glass, he says, sighing, and runs a hand through his hair again. You're not going to finish?
No. I gaze down at my barely touched plate of fettuccine to avoid Christian's darkening expression. Before he can say anything, I stand and clear our plates from the dining table. Gia will be with us shortly, I mutter. Christian's mouth twists in an unhappy scowl, but he says nothing.
I'll take those, Mrs. Gray,
says Mrs. Jones as I walk into the kitchen. Thank you.
You didn't like it?
She asks, concerned. It was fine. I'm just not hungry. Giving me a small, sympathetic smile, she turns to clear my plate and put everything in the dishwasher.
I'm going to make a couple of calls,
Christian announces, giving me an assessing look before he disappears into his study. I let out a sigh of relief and head to our bedroom. Dinner was awkward. I'm still mad at Christian, and he doesn't seem to think he's done anything wrong. Has he? My subconscious cocks an eyebrow at me and gazes benignly over her half-moon glasses. Yes, he has. He's made it even more awkward for me at work. He didn't wait to discuss this issue with me when we were in the relative privacy of our own home. How would he feel if I came barging into his office, laying down the law? And to cap it all, he wants to give me SIP. How the hell could I run a company? I know next to nothing about business. I gaze out at the Seattle skyline bathed in the pearly pink light of dusk, and, as usual, he wants to solve our differences in the bedroom, foyer, playroom, TV room, kitchen countertop.
Stop!
It always comes back to sex with him. Sex is his coping mechanism. I wander into the bathroom and scowl at my reflection in the mirror. Coming back to the real world is hard. We managed to skate over all our differences while we were in our bubble because we were so wrapped up in each other. But now? Briefly, I am dragged back to my wedding, remembering my concerns that day. Marry in haste. No, I mustn't think like this. I knew he was 50 Shades when I married him. I just have to hang in there and try to talk this through with him. I squint at myself in the mirror. I look pale, and now I have that woman to deal with. I'm wearing my gray pencil skirt and a sleeveless blouse. Right. My inner goddess gets out her harlot red nail polish. I undo 2 buttons, exposing a little cleavage. I wash my face, then carefully redo my makeup, applying more mascara than usual and putting extra gloss on my lips. Bending down, I brush my hair vigorously from root to tip. When I stand, my hair is a chestnut haze around me that tumbles to my breasts. I tuck it artfully behind my ears and go in search of my pumps rather than my flats. When I reemerge into the great room, Christian has the house plan spread out on the dining table. He has music playing through the sound system. It stops me in my tracks.
"Mrs. Gray,"
he says warmly, then looks quizzically at me. "What's this?" I ask. "The music is stunning."
"Vaure's Requiem. You look different,"
he says, distracted. "Oh, I've not heard it before."
"It's very calming, relaxing,"
he says, and raises an eyebrow.
"Have you done something to your hair?"
"Brushed it," I mutter. I'm transported by the haunting voices. Abandoning the plans on the table, he walks toward me, a slow saunter in time to the music.
"Dance with me,"
he murmurs.
"To this? It's a requiem,"
I squeak, shocked.
"Yes."
He pulls me into his arms and holds me, burying his nose in my hair and swaying gently from side to side. He smells his heavenly self. Oh, I've missed him. I wrap my arms around him and fight the urge to cry. Why are you so infuriating?
I hate fighting with you,
he whispers. Well, stop being such an arse. He chuckles and the captivating sound reverberates through his chest. He tightens his hold on me.
Arse?
Ass.
I prefer arse.
You should. It suits you. He laughs once more and kisses the top of my head. A requiem? I murmur, a little shocked that we are dancing to it. He shrugs.
It's just a lovely piece of music, Anna.
Taylor coughs discreetly in the entranceway, and Christian releases me.
Miss Mateo is here,
he says. Oh, joy.
Show her in,
Christian says. He reaches over and clasps my hand as Miss Gia Mateo enters the room. Chapter 8. Gia Mateo is a good-looking woman, a tall, good-looking woman. She wears her short, salon blonde, perfectly layered and coiffed hair like a sophisticated crown. She's dressed in a pale gray pantsuit. The slacks and fitted jacket hug her lush curves. Her clothes look expensive. At the base of her throat, a solitary diamond glints, matching the single-carat studs in her ears. She's well-groomed, one of those women who grew up with money and breeding, though her breeding seems to be lacking this evening. Her pale blue blouse is undone too far. Like mine, I flush.
Christian! Anna!
She beams, showing perfect white teeth, and holds out a manicured hand to shake first Christian's, then my hand. It means I have to release Christian's hand to reciprocate. She's a fraction shorter than Christian, but then she's in killer heels.
Gia,
Christian says politely. I smile coolly.
You both look so well after your honeymoon,
she says smoothly, her brown eyes gazing at Christian through long, mascaraed lashes. Christian puts his arm around me, holding me close.
We had a wonderful time.
Thank you. He brushes his lips against my temple, taking me by surprise. See? He's mine. Annoying, infuriating even, but mine. I grin. Right now, I really love you, Christian Gray. I slip my hand around his waist, then into his rear pocket of his pants and squeeze his behind. Gia gives us a thin smile.
Have you managed to look over the plans?
We have, I murmur. I gaze up at Christian, who grins down at me, one eyebrow raised in wry amusement. Amused at what? My reaction to Gia or my squeezing his butt?
Please, Christian says. The plans are here.
He gestures toward the dining table. Taking my hand, he leads me to it, Gia following in our wake. I finally remember my manners. Would you like something to drink? I ask. A glass of wine?
That would be lovely, Gia says. Dry white, if you have it.
Shit. Sauvignon Blanc. It's a dry white, isn't it? Reluctantly leaving my husband's side, I head over to the kitchen. I hear the iPod hiss as Christian switches off the music. Would you like some more wine, Christian? I call.
Please, baby.
He croons, grinning at me. Wow, he can be so swoon-worthy at times, yet so aggravating at others. Reaching up to open the cupboard, I'm aware his eyes are on me, and I'm gripped by the uncanny feeling that Christian and I are putting on a show, playing a game together, but this time we're on the same side, pitted against Ms. Mateo. Does he know that she's attracted to him and is being too obvious about it? It gives me a small rush of pleasure when I realize maybe he's trying to reassure me. Or maybe he's just sending a message loud and clear to this woman that he's taken. Mine. Yeah, bitch, mine. My inner goddess is wearing her gladiatrix outfit, and she's taking no prisoners. Smiling to myself, I collect three glasses from the cupboard, take the opened bottle of Sauvignon Blanc from the fridge, and place them all on the breakfast bar. Gia is leaning over the table while Christian stands beside her and points to something on the plans.
I think Anna has some opinions on the glass wall, but generally we're both pleased with the ideas you've come up with.
Oh, I'm glad,
Gia gushes, obviously relieved, and as she says it, she briefly touches his arm in a small, flirty gesture. Christian stiffens immediately, but subtly. She doesn't even seem to notice.
Leave him the fuck alone, lady. He doesn't like to be touched.
Stepping casually aside so he's out of her reach, Christian turns to me.
Thirsty here, he says.
Coming right up.
He is playing the game. She makes him uncomfortable. Why didn't I see that before?
That's why I don't like her. He's used to how women react to him. I've seen it often enough, and usually he thinks nothing of it. Touching is something else. Well, Mrs. Gray to the rescue.
I hastily pour the wine, gather all three glasses in my hands, and hurry back to my knight in distress. Offering a glass to Gia, I deliberately position myself between them. She smiles courteously as she accepts it. I hand the second to Christian, who takes it eagerly, his expression one of amused gratitude.
Cheers,
Christian says to us both, but looking at me. Gia and I raise our glasses and answer in unison. I take a welcome sip of wine.
Anna, you have some issues with the glass wall?
Gia asks.
Yes, I love it, don't get me wrong, but I was hoping that we could incorporate it more organically into the house. After all, I fell in love with the house as it was, and I don't want to make any radical changes.
I see. I just want the design to be sympathetic, you know, more in keeping with the original house. I glance up at Christian, who is gazing at me thoughtfully.
No major renovations,
he murmurs. No, I shake my head to emphasize my point.
You like it as it is?
Mostly, yes. I always knew it just needed some TLC. Christian's eyes glow warmly. Gia glances at the pair of us, and her cheeks pink.
Okay, she says. I think I get where you're coming from, Anna. How about if we retain the glass wall, but have it open out onto a larger deck that's in keeping with the Mediterranean style? We have the stone terrace there already. We can put in pillars and matching stone, widely spaced so you'll still have the view.
Add a glass roof or tile it as per the rest of the house. It'll also make a sheltered alfresco dining and seating area. Got to give the woman her due. She's good.